In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word limbo comes from the Latin limbus and means edge, boundary, border, or final limit. It is called this because it was believed that the limbo of children was located on the edge or the limits of hell. This word does not appear in the Bible or in the Holy Fathers, who used the generic term of hell to designate the place where the souls were that were not in heaven. With this word, not only the hell of the damned were designated, but also those who were in purgatory, in the bosom of Abraham, referred to in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, and the limbo of children. For this reason, in the symbol of the apostles, or the Apostles' Creed, it is said that Jesus descended ad inferos, meaning descended into hell, as we say in English, but not to the hell of the damned, but to the place of the dead, who were not yet in heaven, that is, to the limbo of the just, or the bosom of Abraham. It is not known when this word began to be used to designate the intermediate place or state between heaven and hell of the damned, to which children went who died without baptism, before the use of reason, and with only original sin. Saint Albertus Magnus, also known as Saint Albert the Great, who lived between the year 1200 and the year 1280, teacher of Saint Thomas Aquinas, is one of the first to use this expression. He clearly distinguishes between the limbo of the parents, or the bosom of Abraham, and the limbo of the children. William of Auvergne was a French theologian who used this word in his works. From the 13th century, under the influence of St. Thomas Aquinas, it is used normally and universally. Also, St. Thomas Aquinas speaks of limbus puerorum et limbus patrum, and he speaks of the limbo of children not only as a place, but also as a state, and this place or state he considers eternal. Thus, limbo meant the place or state to which children who died without baptism went, and which was neither hell nor heaven, and in which they would suffer the penalty of damage, that is, the denial of the beatific vision, and not the penalty of sense or the fire of hell. It seems that the first one who taught the opinion that children who died without baptism had only the penalty of damage, or denial of the beatific vision, was the French theologian Pierre Abelard, who lived between the year 1079 and 1142. This is also affirmed by the Italian Pierre Lombardo, also known as Pietro Lombardo, and Alexander Hales. In the year 1201, Pope Innocent III, whose papacy was between the year 1198 and 1216, in his letter Maioris Ecclesiae Causas, written to the Archbishop of Arles, says that the penalty of original sin is the lack of the vision of God. The penalty of actual sin is the torment of eternal hell. In this letter, it seems that Pope Innocent III accepts the common opinion that original sin is not punished in the life after death with the penalty of sense, but with the penalty of damage, as accepting it as an intermediate place or limbo. Saint Albertus Magnus, also known as Saint Albert the Great, also followed this opinion, accepting limbo. St. Thomas Aquinas followed the opinion of his teacher, St. Albertus Magnus, against the Augustinians. Starting from St. Thomas Aquinas, the word limbo will come into common use, considered as a third place or state, where only the penalty of damage, denial of the beatific vision, is suffered, and they have a natural happiness. St. Thomas Aquinas says that original sin is punished with the penalty of damage and not with the penalty of sense, because original sin is a vice of nature and actual sin is a vice of the person. And also, because the penalty of sense is not due to a disposition to sin, but to an act of sin. As for whether these children suffer internally from the penalty of damage, that is, eternal loss of the happiness of heaven, the saint had his doubts. Between the year 1254 and 1256, the Italian Pier Lombardo, also known as Pietro Lombardo, when he was approximately 30 years old, states that these children do not suffer for not having the beatific vision, because they are not owed it as a requirement of their nature. He will accept that these children have knowledge of the loss of the glory of God, but they will not suffer because the glory of heaven is something beyond their capacity. And he talks about how no wise man grieves for not being able to fly like a bird, or for not being king or emperor, because that is not his. But he would grieve for something that he has the capacity to possess. For St. Thomas Aquinas, the child who died without baptism has no capacity for heaven, is not proportioned to the glory of heaven, because he lacks the means to achieve this end, since he does not have the free will necessary to make an act of faith. Enjoying the glory of heaven involves, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, the gift of sanctifying grace, and to obtain grace, it is necessary to have the gift of free will, to be able to accept this grace freely. But these children, before the use of reason, have not been prepared to obtain the eternal life of heaven, because they have never had grace or the possibility of choosing grace. According to this, these children not only do not suffer from the loss of heaven, but they enjoy an authentic joy of being united to God in their natural perfections and by the participation of all the natural goods corresponding to their nature, and they enjoy a knowledge and a natural love. But St. Thomas Aquinas, already mature, in his writing Quaestiones Disputate de Malo, between the year 1270 and 1271, changes his point of view. And he speaks very concretely about these children being radically ignorant of their supernatural eternal destiny in heaven. And he makes a clear distinction between natural knowledge and supernatural knowledge. For him, the children of limbo have a perfect natural knowledge, according to their nature. They know that the soul has been created for happiness, but they have no supernatural knowledge, because they have never had faith, which is the beginning and foundation of supernatural life. Therefore, they ignore everything that Revelation teaches the believer, and specifically, that the perfect good for which man has been created is the glory that the saints possess. So that vocation of man to see God or the beatific vision does not fall within the field of truths accessible to his natural reason. And to confirm this, St. Thomas Aquinas quotes the text of St. Paul the Apostle. What no eye has seen and no ear has heard, what the mind of man cannot visualize, all that God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, these children do not suffer from being disadvantaged regarding these supernatural gifts, which they do not know, and they are happy with a natural happiness, which fulfills all the desires of their nature. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.